Happy Easter. Easter literally means the day our Lord rose from the dead. That's what it literally means. It's a literal text. It isn't figurative. It isn't a myth. It isn't a legend. Well, it is a legend, but it's a living legend. Amen. But it literally means that, you know, a lot of times, us Christians, we put a lot of stock in the cross, which we should. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. But the point of it is this. The cross means absolutely nothing without the resurrection. See, the cross, the crucifixion, would have been just an execution without the resurrection. That's what we celebrate today. Our King is alive forevermore, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father this morning. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just easily excited, but that is exciting. Jesus lives, amen. And I live because he lives. Amen. Well, today, what we're going to do is we're actually going to finish up this series called Scars to Monuments. That's what we're going to finish it up today. And you know, the Lord has had us on a credible journey for the past 9 weeks. It's been a 9-week series. I went into the series thinking it was going to be a 3-part series, and it ended up 9. That's just how the Lord does sometimes. But through this series, he's revealed so many amazing things to me personally. He's revealed to me his love, his mercy, and his grace. And what I find to be really exceptional is not only has he revealed these things, but he's actually revealed them what they really are. Let me say that again. He's revealed what true love looks like from God, what true mercy looks like from God, what true grace looks like from God, meaning simply this, that somehow we have allowed fleshly thinking, worldly thinking to creep into the church. And what we've done is we have looked at God's love, mercy, and grace through the lens of our feelings, through our mind's eye. See, so what we've done is we put our glasses on, right? And we've said, well, this must be the way God's love looks like, his mercy looks like, his grace looks like, because we've put it against our feelings. So what we've actually done is made this a feeling walk and not a faith walk. That's what we've done. Because what we've said is this, is, well, if it doesn't feel good, must not be the love of God. If it doesn't make me feel good, can't be mercy or grace. All of it has to feel good. And it isn't about how we feel, it's about how we live. Let me say it again. It's not about how you feel, it's about how you live. It isn't about how things make me feel, it's about how I portray Christ in my life is what it's about. But because we have viewed it through our mind's eye, and because we have thought about it's how we feel and the way it makes us feel, we've misunderstood the love, mercy, and grace of God. And I put all the blame on pastors who preach the word of God with compromise, that don't preach the full counsel of God. It's their fault. They're the ones that's let it in. Because it's our duty, it's what God has charged us with, is to preach the full counsel of God so that everyone understands God and his fullness about his love, mercy, and grace. Let me tell you something. I don't like discipline. I don't like it. I really don't. And because I don't like discipline and I don't like the way it feels, it must not be from God. Must not be from God if it's discipline and it makes me hurt. But yet scripture says in Hebrews 12:6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Well, wait a minute. Discipline don't feel good. It can't be from God. But yet scripture tells me this, that actually his love is contingent upon his discipline of me. It literally proves that he loves me. How many of you have ever been disciplined? Okay, a couple didn't raise their hands. We will pray for you after church. We might even anoint you with oil. But man, I'm going to tell you right now, when I was a kid, I got disciplined. My mother disciplined me to the third power. She still apologizes to me to this day. Because back then, it was just normal protocol to get Adrian Peterson. That was normal protocol, man. I'm gonna tell you right now, that was standard operating procedure to get switched. Go pick a switch, boy. you're in trouble. I mean, I got so good at it that I literally would pick a switch before my mom even knew I messed up and hand it to her. Here you go. I'm not even going to tell you what I did. I just hand it to her. Here you go. And two statements she would always say that, man, I still to this day hate. I kind of understand them, but I still hate them. She would say, it hurts me more than it hurts you. I'm the one bawling. What are you talking about? Another statement she'd always say, she'd go, I do this because I love you, son. And as I got older and I started to hear that, one day I said, well, love me less. My God, don't love me so much, Mom. You're loving me too much. Discipline doesn't feel good. It hurts. It hurts. But I do understand it. Right? And when we're upset because God is disciplining us and we're crying to God about it, we're actually saying, God, love me less. Don't love me so much, God. I'm sick of you loving me, God. Quit disciplining me. It goes on in that to say this in Hebrews. It says, and he chastises every son whom he receives. Chastisement actually means to be reprimanded harshly and punished. And I don't like being punished either. I don't like it. Who likes it? Who likes being punished? Cool. No hands. I was going to say, if there was any hands that goes up, we're in trouble. I offer low discounted rate counseling, and we can meet. But we don't like to be punished. It hurts. I can remember when I was a kid. Well, not a kid, really. I was in my early 20s. I'm still a kid, Josh. Still got a ways to go, my friend. But in my younger years, I found myself trying to run from God, right? And I ended up in all kinds of trouble. Drug addiction, alcoholism, all these things, right? Because I was running from God and I was going to do everything against what God said was right and, you know, whatever. And I can remember, man, I'm not kidding you, I was in jail all the time. Literally all the time. Months after month after month, I'd be in jail. And I'd be sitting there in jail and I can remember thinking this. I can remember sitting there thinking, why in the world can I not get away with nothing? I never got away with anything. I messed up. I was in jail. Every time. It was so aggravating. And I can remember sitting there thinking in the jail cell, talking to God. This is a conversation, probably hilarious to him. Why are you always putting me here? That's what I say. My friends are out having a great old time. And I'm stuck in here. But you know what? As I look back, man, I see that. It was God's mercy on my life. It was his grace. His punishment was for my life. It was his grace in my life, on my life, for my life. This is what punishment does. It keeps us where we need to be. Amen. With the Lord. Amen. This is what truly what God's love, mercy, and grace looks like. But we're going to keep talking about Scars to Monuments, simply meaning this. The Scars to Monuments series was based on this. God had spoke to me that all of these things that we have endured in this life, all the hurts, how many have had hurts in life? How many know this? We're going to have hurts in life. Why? Because we're dealing with each other. You might hurt me. I might hurt you. Not on purpose, right? We might not mean to, but yet there'll be scars accumulated over this life that happens. And only Jesus can turn them things into monuments. Only he can heal them. But that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to take all those things that were meant to wreck your future and build great monuments to him, to lead others to Christ through him. Amen. Amen. He doesn't want us to suffer these things in vain. Let me tell you something. When we suffer these things through life, we're going to go through stuff. But apart from Christ, then we suffer them in vain. But if Jesus heals them, he'll use them for his good. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering. We're too quiet in this place. But it takes covenant. It takes covenant. It takes us saying, Jesus, I surrender to you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you all of me. I give you all of me, God. That's what it takes. It takes living in the light as he is in the light. Amen. Amen. And living a life that looks like Jesus. You know, that's what this life's about. Living a life where people look at you and they see Jesus in you. That's the point. You know, one time I was at a family function. Praise God. That's a whole soap opera in and of itself. This is my family, Patsy. Don't worry. Yours is a double soap opera. But here we are, my wife and I and Isabel. We're back at Christmas time, and we're sitting there with family, and one of my family members, he was really drunk, very intoxicated. And how I know he was, because he started to push alcohol on me, trying to get me to drink, right? First couple times, I'm cool. I'm like, nah, man, I'm okay. Nah, man, I'm okay. About the third time now, I get frustrated. Get it away from me. Don't ask me again. I said, why in the world are you going to sit there and try to offer me something that has tried to destroy my family? That's exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to take something that has literally tried to wreck my whole family. And then him and I, we start talking, right? And he's arguing, and I'm not even arguing. I'm just stating facts. That's all I'm doing. And then he finally starts arguing with me about whether drinking is a sin or not. And I said, look, man, and when people are coming against me, I don't talk in my own power. I start using the word of God. I let the word of God talk for me. So I start quoting scripture. I said, look, man, here in Romans, this is all I do know. In Romans, it says that a drunkard will not enter the kingdom of God. That's what it says. Well, then he starts arguing about what a drunkard is. I said, I'm not going to argue this with you. This is the fact that I do know. I don't drink, so I never have to worry about becoming drunk. It's that simple. If I don't drink, I don't ever have to worry about that line of getting drunk or not. That's the point of it. And listen, don't think for one second I'm talking about, hey, if you have a drink, you're in sin. That's not what I'm saying. Hear me what I'm talking about. It isn't about the drinking. It's about living a life like Christ, looking like Jesus. And this is what he said to me. I'll never forget it. He looks me right in the eye. He says, you're setting yourself up for failure. I said, no, sir. I'm setting myself up to look like Jesus. You ought to try it sometime. That's the point. The drinking isn't the point. It's how you live your life for Christ is the point I'm trying to make. Right? Living a life, walking in the light as he is in the light, so that everywhere you go, everything you say, every single person that sees you sees the light of Jesus in your life. If he isn't in the thing that you're doing, stop doing it. This isn't rocket science. We just stop doing that so that we can live and look like Jesus. Live a life for the one and only begotten Son. Because here's the bottom line. Man, we have been bought and paid for by a price. By a price. And the currency that purchased your life, my life, your lives, was the blood of the Son of God. That's the currency used. Was the blood of Jesus. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He says, you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your whole body. Glorify God in everything that you do, everything that you say, everywhere you go. You know what's awesome though? When we drop the ball, we got to do is say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. His grace covers it, right? That's the true love, mercy, and grace of God. But us living a life for Christ that looks like Christ, glorifying God in our whole body. And let me be perfectly clear what he's talking about here. He's talking about anything that we do, but he's actually addressing sexual immorality here. He actually does this whole thing on sexual immorality. And then he goes on to say, listen, your body's not your own, so glorify God in your whole body. So if you're having sex, he says, stop doing it if you're not married. That's what he says. See, a lot of times, man, we try to make things harder than what it needs to be. If we're doing something that displeases God, we stop it. We stop it. Amen. It's quiet. Hallelujah. There we go. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. Don't even got to look up. I know she's got my back. But I love the gospel. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. You and I have no power to live for God. You've got no power to do it. You've got no might to do it. You cannot white knuckle this thing. There's some things in life that we can white knuckle, right? And if you ever want somebody to partner with you to white knuckle, just ask Nate Varela. He'll run through a brick wall. He will white knuckle things, let me tell you. But we cannot white knuckle living for God. We can't do it. Amen. It is impossible to do. You cannot stop doing wrong without Jesus living in your life. Look what Zechariah 4:6 says. He says, not by power, It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, says Jesus Christ. He said, it's not by your power nor by your might. You're never going to be able to live for me on your own. You can't live for me, right? You can never be reconciled back to God by your power or might. It's only by my spirit that's going to rectify your relationship with Jesus. That's it. That's it. Through Jesus Christ, right? It's not by works. It's by a faith walk with Christ, but not a feeling walk either. Amen. This is the true love and mercy of grace. Look at Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can live for Jesus because he strengthens me. I cannot live in sin. I don't have to live in sin because Jesus strengthens me. That's why it goes on to say, Romans 8:37 says this, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I can conquer all of my fears because Christ lives in me. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. See, greater is Jesus. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, greater is he that is in your life than the other people out around you trying to get you to sin and try to pull you away. Greater than Satan ever thought of being. He can't even dream how great Jesus is. He can't even dream or fathom how powerful our Savior is. This is the love of God. And I love the gospel. I do. I love salvation. This is a really good point here too. If you're taking notes, you want to write this down. This right here is directly from the Lord. Because I was sitting there asking God, I said, okay, Lord, I get it. It's not about me. It's about you. I get that. This walk's about me. About you, God, not about me. I started to talk about to the Lord about salvation and about how good he is. And the Lord said, that's right. But salvation is for you. He said, I died for you. That was humbling. That Jesus gave his life so that you could have life. Amen. That is humbling. But then he went on, this humbled me even more. He said, yeah, salvation's for you, but it's not about you. Salvation was given for you so that you can live for him. So it's for you, but it's about him. Does that make sense? This is not misdirection. It is for you, but it's about Jesus. He gave his life so that you could live a life free from sin for him. Are we making sense today? Can you give the Lord a clap offering? But what a humbling fact that is. And I love being humbled by God. This is why. Because God exalts the humble, but he opposes the proud. So I'm always saying, Lord, make me, keep me humble. Keep me on my knees before you. Before you, God. But it was for us, but about him. Look what he says. Look what Jesus says in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. It's for you, but it's about him. Because apart from him, you and I can do absolutely nothing. Everything's in vain if it's apart from him. Now we're going to look exactly what Jesus has done and how he purchased your life. And we're going to see the greatest story of a scars to monuments ever. This is the life of Jesus. Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. The scar of rejection that Jesus suffered, the wound that he endured by being despised by men, was used for our glory, right? Our good for his glory. My bad. For your good, but for his glory. Because he was rejected, you and I are now accepted. Because he was despised, we are now cherished. Because he suffered our sorrow, now we have joy unspeakable, right? Pain might last for the night, but joy comes in the morning with Jesus. He's the day spring. He's what springs forth every single day into action. Jesus. goes on into 4-6, says, surely he was born, he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Hallelujah. That is a scar to monument. These scars that Jesus suffered are now monuments for us. Because he suffered all these things, you and I now are free of them. We have authority over them. It goes on and says, all we like sheep. This is the reason Jesus did it. It's right here. Right here why Jesus did all of these things. Why he was pierced, why he was bruised, why he was crushed, why he was beaten and killed. This is why. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is saying this. Because you and I decided that we thought we could do it on our own. We thought we didn't need God. We thought we could disobey God and live a life that was okay. Because we did that, Jesus did what he did. Because we had no power to get back to the Father. We had no GPS leading us back to God. We needed Jesus to be that GPS. We needed him to be the bridge to bridge the gap. He's the way, the truth, the life. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus, and that's it. There is nothing else but him. See, the Father, God the Father, laid on Jesus Christ the sin, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the wickedness of this world for you to make it about him. This is the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God on your life. Isaiah verse 10 and 53 says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Father to put the weight of the world on his son, Jesus. It was his will so that we could be made right again. So that we could be made right again. And here is exactly why. Because he doesn't want one to perish. Not one, but everyone to return to repentance. That's the will of the Father. That's why Jesus did exactly what he did. Karen, if you could come up, please. So we had Good Friday, right? Good Friday was just this past Friday. Jesus gave his life for you to have life. And now we're at the third day where Jesus rose again. And let me tell you something, Jesus rose again. He's alive. He's alive. I don't know what else to tell you. Jesus is alive today. Amen. Look what it says in Mark 16, verse 6. I love this. It says, do not be alarmed. Now, these are the angels, right? And they're seated there in the tomb where Jesus was. And here comes Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, it says, and Martha. And they show up at the tomb. And look what the angel says to them. Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was, past tense, crucified. Present tense, he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Right here is where he laid, but he's no longer there. It's a vacant, there you go. It's no longer, he's no longer in the grave. I really like the way Luke says it. Luke says it like this. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Scars to monuments, church. All those scars that Jesus bore was to make sure that you and I could be made a monument for God. Our lives as a living testimony of how good God's grace, love, and mercy is. That's the point. And we prove this by the way that we live for him. That's how we prove it. That's how we prove. You stand to your feet this morning. Jesus is risen. He's not amongst the dead. He's not in the grave. He's on the throne this morning. Amen. And because of that, you and I, we're no longer victims, but we're victors. We're no longer the tail. We're the head. Because of what Jesus has done, we're no longer second fiddle. Hallelujah. We're number one in the eyes of God today if we've given our lives to Christ. All we have to do is live for him. I want everybody to look at me for just a moment here. It says Isaiah 53:1. This whole section started out with a question. We're going to end it with this question. It says, who has believed what he has heard from us? Who believes that Jesus has rose from the grave? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Where does your allegiance lie this morning? Where's it at? Where's your heart this morning with God? Where's it at? Listen, let me tell you something. The greatest travesty would be for you to leave this place the same way you walked in the door. I don't give a rip. You've been saved for 30 years. If you've been ripped for an hour or been saved for an hour, been ripped for an hour. Praise the Lord. I get ahead of myself sometimes. But I don't give a rip where you're at. You should not leave this place the same way that you walked in them doors. Every time that we experience God's presence, it don't matter where we are, whether we're at home, we experience God's presence, it should lead us closer to Christ. It should start to conform our lives into the image and likeness of his son, Jesus. That's the point. So today, every head bowed, every eye closed. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would start to reveal to hearts and minds around this place where they are with you. Holy is your name, Jesus. Lord, I don't want nobody leaving this place with any questions. I don't want them to have a question, Lord, where they're going tomorrow, because tomorrow isn't promised. That's why today is the day of salvation. And Jesus, I pray right now that you would move in this place. Holy Spirit, come on. Holy Spirit, come on. Start to move on hearts. I pray right now, Lord, that it would be like a tractor beam, God, pulling them to your presence, pulling them to this altar. I pray in Jesus' name. Every born-again believer, start praying for all distraction to be removed in the name of Jesus. Lord, that nothing would be on anybody's heart or mind except getting their life right with you right now. Not worrying about lunch after or family coming over later. That right now it's about you, Jesus, and we're going to take a moment to make sure our lives and our hearts are completely right with you today. Holy Spirit, touch these people. Draw us closer to you. Hallelujah. Lord, I want every single person to leave here feeling victorious today. As Karen plays this song, these altars are open. I'll be down front here. My prayer team, I want you guys to keep your eyes open. Because listen, take this time, take this opportunity to have men and women of God lay their hands on you. It says this right here in Scripture, and this isn't weird, this is Scripture. Scripture says this, to fan into flame the gifts of the Holy Ghost that has been imparted to you by the laying on of hands. Have Spirit-filled men and women of God put their hands on you and pray for you. I promise you something happens when it does. Lord, I just pray you would touch every single person here. In Jesus' name. So Karen, go ahead and play a song. We'll be up here ready for prayer. If you want any prayer for anything at all, it doesn't matter. Come. But especially if you don't have your life right with Christ, get it right before you leave this place.